Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Emerging Markets Research EMEA. It's Friday, 27th May 2022, and in this week's podcast, Essan counts the costs and gauges the risks in emerging markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, 2022 has witnessed a lot, and we are not even halfway yet. What is the current assessment across the emerging market space?
Thank you, Una. Yes, indeed. 2022 has seen plenty so far. It's seen the worst bond market performance since 1980, the biggest commodity outperformance in data began in 1960, large moves within and between equity indices. It's also seen an intense conflict in Europe, the re-emergence of COVID in China, and the first 50 basis point hike by the Federal Reserve in 22 years. Now, from an emerging markets perspective, following the worst quarter in over a decade, bar the start of the pandemic, the outlook is really in a state of flux. Emerging markets were already pricing in a long streak of stagflationary shocks, and this picture is now even more complicated given the war in Ukraine and all the near and long-term uncertainties it causes. And Una, this reinforces our 2022 emerging markets outlook theme that we advocated at the start of the year of a continued deterioration of emerging markets growth inflation mix. Now, Fed rate hikes and quantitative tightening still pose the biggest risk to emerging markets, while expectations about global inflation returning to more reasonable levels are fading. Significant cost pressures and continued supply disruptions argue for even more monetary activism by most of the emerging market central banks. And in the meantime, the sought-after support for emerging markets from better Chinese growth is really yet to materialize. There is really little support emerging markets from a top-down global macro angle. If anything, the drags are in fact garnering greater worsening in magnitude. So all in, Una, stagflation, trepidation, that is the mix of slowing growth and elevated inflation remains top of mind, with recent events such as the extensive negative supply side disruptions, the war in Ukraine, rising commodity prices, and a less supportive global liquidity backdrop really reinforcing this narrative.
And Essan, just going into the finer details, what are the economic growth and inflation concerns that you have?
So, Una, upside risks to inflation and downside risks to growth implies, of course, an unpleasant stagflationary backdrop. Now, given the level of uncertainty surrounding geopolitics, the pandemic and commodity prices, and an already weakening pace of global activity, it is likely that stagflation, or at a minimum, a deteriorating growth inflation mix, will continue to be front and center for the remainder of this year, in our view. Now, although stagflation discussions made a fresh return, particularly in developed markets this time, it is really nothing new for emerging markets. In the last few years, EMs have faced significant negative supply shocks, including some reversal in globalization gains, pandemic-related supply disruptions, of course, rising commodity prices, and a less supportive global liquidity backdrop, which have all led to a marked deterioration in the growth inflation trade-off. So in a way, stagflation was reflected in emerging market asset prices throughout most of 2021, particularly during the second half of last year. And more recently, it has been more of an inflation worry than growth, albeit growth expectations were rather depressed. Now on growth, Una, the war in Ukraine, risk aversion, and global policy tightening are amplifying economic vulnerabilities across most of the EM complex, with growth markedly slowing. Indeed, the latest PMI reading suggests some further loss of momentum in economic activity, which based on our modeling analysis suggests that after a significant decline from peak between mid-2020 to mid-2021, the probability of low EM economic activity over the next couple of quarters has risen considerably. In terms of rising downside risks to economic activity, of course, we have recently revised our 2022 and 2023 EM GDP forecast to the downside, and now we're expecting activity to grow by only 3.1% in 2022, which is down from 4.9% prior, and 3.6% in 2023, which is down from 4.3% previously. Now, turning to inflation, the data across the EM complex continues to rise and surprise, of course, on the upside. Now, the vast array of inflation shocks in recent months may begin to have a damaging impact on inflation expectations, with the persistence of core inflation suggesting that CPI may be more stickier than it might otherwise be, given rising risks of wage pressures. Now, after ending 2021 at 8.6%, the uptrend in EM inflation seems to have continued uninterrupted, with headline CPI reaching 12.3% as of April, which is the highest since 1999. And it's really emerging markets with EMEA at 16.1% and Latin America at 10.6%, which have been leading the charge, with headline annual inflation surging to the highest level since 2008. And the upside inflation risks have also led to revisions in our inflation forecasts. And we expect price pressures to remain stickier, with headline EM inflation ending this year at 8.2% from 5.3% previously. And we've also revised 2023 forecasts upwards to 6.1% from 4.2% previously. Regionally, the upward revisions are highest for emerging markets, within EMEA as the epicenter of global volatility, of course, where inflation is expected to remain in double digits throughout this year.
And finally, Ehsan, which emerging markets fare best and worst during this stagflationary environment?
So, you know, looking ahead, the global macro backdrop has become ever more challenging, with the world's central bank community pushing forward rate hikes. And despite the obvious downside risks this poses for growth, central banks are firmly in tightening mode, with only a small minority beginning to acknowledge cracks in domestic demand. And this is unsurprising, given the global backdrop is becoming more complicated by emerging markets' bleak local dynamics, and the trade-off between inflation and growth has already been worsening pretty much since the middle of last year, and the continuation of this trend even looks likely going forward. And for us, it is fairly clear that the top-down investment backdrop has turned quite unpleasant for many emerging markets, given the weak global business cycle, increasing external headwinds, and so on, with many moving parts. And we believe, because of that, it is quite prudent to look at the bottom-up narratives and take only selective, calculated risks in emerging markets for the remainder of the year. And our examination hones in on two questions. First, which economies have prudent macro policies and more advanced in policy normalization, and which are more prepared to be in tightening in terms of global financial conditions? And second, which economies are likely to benefit from elevated commodity prices? From this, Una, we stick to the winners from elevated commodity prices and those with responsible macro policies, in essence, which offer very sizable risk premiums. And we know that whilst the share of commodities in total exports remains high in many EMs, not all of them are commodity exporters on a net basis. And that means there are relative winners and losers from this in terms of the commodity price backdrop. Now, with this, the net commodity trade balance is largest for countries in the GCC region, Latin America, which is notably the likes within that, Chile and Brazil, whilst key mining producing nation South Africa is also a relative winner. Indeed, on an absolute basis, South Africa has already benefited from an acceleration in commodity prices, helping to drive its external assessment into positive territory, minimizing the weakness in its growth assessment. On the other side of the coin, Una, in contrast, EM Asian economies broadly stand at the other end of the spectrum, with Vietnam, Korea, Taiwan, mainland China, and India having the largest negative net commodity trade balances after Turkey.
Thank you very much for sharing your insight, Ehsan. Have a lovely week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.